Today, we're going to have a very informative sermon where the title says much. Sermon title today is Three More Weeks. Three More Weeks. Most everyone should know exactly what I'm speaking about with such a sermon title. We know that we actually have less than three more weeks until the first trumpet of the seventh seal is blown. Shortly after Wayne Matthews arrived here from Australia for the elders meeting being held this weekend, we're talking about the timing of events as they draw close to a major fulfillment, and the story of Noah came up. So if you think about a lot of different stories in the Bible, especially in Hebrews, where it's the faith chapter, and it talks about a lot of different people, we're learning more about them and what they went through because we're experiencing things we have never experienced before. And we're able to put ourselves in their shoes, so to speak, a little bit more because we understand what it's like to live by faith, especially as you get really close to a fulfillment of a particular matter. And I think of Noah as one example. We'll talk about another one here in a moment. But what were the last 3 weeks really like? Amazing. You think about different people. What was it like before the rain and the water under the earth began to flood the earth, because it talks about certain things being opened up, and it wasn't just rain, and God opened up the spigot to begin to flood the earth. And the ark was finished. You think about 3 weeks before it was all there. It was all done. It's all finished. All the stores were taken on that were going to be needed, that God let him know what to do and how to do it. And now it's finished. Fully equipped. Incredible. The anticipation had to be unique. My anticipation right now is quite unique. The anticipation, grasping that all the work was now finished for a particular phase before something else happened. There isn't much said about this. You know, when you go back and read it, there's really not much about the story of Noah, just really a few verses in the Bible, not all that much. And really a few words actually record what took place, especially in the beginning of Genesis. So much of it, they're just quick little stories, and it goes on to something else. Not a lot of detail. It doesn't talk about 3 weeks before or 2 weeks before and what they were going through. We have wondered in the times past if the ark might not have been sealed up 7 days before the rains actually began to fall, but I've gone through different studies of this. Some translations in Hebrew seem to indicate that. Others don't. And I tend to give that as a possible scenario that it wasn't sealed up the 7 days before, not until it was actually all finished. But some evidence seems to show that it was during the final 7 days that the animals were actually taken in during the entire period there. And more of the translations there seem to lean in that direction. So it really doesn't matter. God will reveal those things in time, exactly how it took place. But the anticipation and what was taking place, either scenario, either one you look at as to what might have been the possibility, had to be tense. And finally, Noah's family was brought on after all the animals were on. There was a process there they had to go through. But what was it like that last week and the last few days? You know, as people began to see the animals even come, it had to be sobering. But it doesn't take long, a couple of days. People start mocking. People start making fun. I think of Noah's sons. They must have given him a tough time. Oh, amazing. Human nature. But I think for us, next 3 weeks are going to say a whole lot. They truly are. I think of Jesus Christ. You know, the closer that such events come to being fulfilled, if you go through the book of Hebrews and look at the faith chapter, when there was something going to take place at a specific moment in time, we're going to go to the example here in a moment of Gideon, another example. You know, there are things you do by faith. And that's what the faith chapter obviously is all about, individuals who did what they did when something was coming up to a particular moment in time. And you still live by faith right up to the very moment. but they become more intense as you move along. So, I know what I'm feeling, and I know that some of you have to be feeling the same things. Even Jesus Christ, when he knew he was finally down to the last day, it became very intense. Some of the most intense times of his life are recorded on the Passover night, when he began to pray three different times, an hour each time, went away, prayed, came back. His mind, what was going through his mind, what he knew he was getting ready to do, it was intense. See? Right now, I think about 3.5 years from now, and I'm going to go through another phase of being intense. Right now, I can laugh about it at times. I can talk about what might happen, how it might happen, be a little light about it. But, you know, when it comes down to that time, I probably won't be laughing too much. You know, so things are going to change. And what about Gideon's army? You know, it was one thing gathering at the top of the hill, but totally another as they begin to run down. And you know what? The farther you get down, can you imagine? Here you start, you're committed, you're doing it, and then it comes time that you're to break the lanterns. There comes a time when all of a sudden you know you're more exposed. People can see you more easily. And not only that, but you've got to make a lot of noise. Now you're really out there. Now you put it all out there. What's going to happen? You think your heart, it's going to be beating because you're running, but I'll guarantee you it's going to be beating a whole lot faster. You're going to have a whole lot more adrenaline just because of the moment you're in. And the closer you get to the bottom, we're very much like that. Except ours is spread out over a lot longer period of time. So analogies like that, ours is spiritual, theirs was physical. So those of us who are of one mind truly relate to this story. We truly do. Critics, however, just don't get it. They only find fault. I think of how we're divided up to do this running. Isn't that amazing? How God divided us up. We're divided up in a form of government that God gave to us. Basically in three divisions for what's coming, for the period ahead. And as Gideon told the others to do as he did, it was organized into three different groups like that. Incredible. And what we're preparing to do, we're divided in the same manner spiritually. That story has a lot of meaning for us. It truly does. It's very encouraging. And in this case, with myself out front and two evangelists who are fully of the same mind leading the support to accomplish the race that's in front of us. It's amazing. Our running down the hill, brethren, is spiritual. Some critics find fault because they look at something physical. They can't help what they see. It's amazing what people see. I've talked about January and February at different stages when speaking of Gideon's army, so critics look for physical events during these times, and yet clearly talked about what 1,335 was, clearly talked about what 1,290 was. But there are certain things that people think you're saying. They come to certain conclusions. I think the biggest one that people are looking for, the death of ministers. Sad. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. Especially those who have been full-time. Not all elders, but all ministers. The reality is, during 3.5 years, they're all going to die. A judgment's already been passed by God. And some think that because things are said like that, that there's a bitterness there. Far, far from it. Far, far from it. So when we look at these events, candidly, I was in place on the hill at the end of the feast. Spiritual. Then for the next 3 months, others started getting into position spiritually. It's the process. It's strung out a little longer. It takes time to get into place. You know, what happened with Gideon was a little more quick, but still they had different things they had to do to get into place. Ours is spread out a little bit more. In January, I began running in a way I have never run before. Others started getting in a position spiritually, as I mentioned. And then Wayne Matthews and Johnny Harrell began running spiritually. Say, I know. And at the end of January, the beginning of February, that's when those things happen primarily for them. Things that they can understand in their relationship with God. Things that I know that took place in their life spiritually. Things that are still going on as a result of some of that because of what God's doing. The critics don't get it because they don't see spiritually. They're small-minded. They're perverted. They're twisted. And they're destroying themselves. Too bad. That's why I think, get a life. At least physically. Go out there and try to get a life for yourself a little bit while you can. Because it's fast coming to an end. Make them really happy. They'll just get more stirred up because they don't understand what's happening in their life. What is being accomplished on the websites, the growth that has taken place in the church, the new people being baptized, is all fruit of a spiritual Gideon's army that's been running down the hill. We're all a part of that. We truly are. Do we grasp, do we understand spiritually what God is doing? It's awesome. And it's only a little bit of a beginning here. What's behind it is far more massive and far more exciting. I'll tell you what, though. We're already at a point where the enemy's scared. They're scared. They are scared. It's in their writing. It's in their words. Just as much as the enemy at the bottom of the hill, all of a sudden, what were they going to do? They started turning on each other. They were scared. God put fear in them. God has already put fear in this world, in a spirit world. They know they have but a short time left. Amazing. Let's turn over to James. We're talking about things that are spiritual here, brethren. Because some are beginning to break up camp and they're beginning to panic. Things are beginning to fall apart. You just wait. Even in the organizations, things are starting now to break up. People against people. Politics that's ugly and dirty. Can't long endure. That's exactly what God's going to bring it to. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead, being alone. In other words, by itself. Yes, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith only has meaning by what you do, by your works. Look at us. What are we doing? Everything we're doing, the elders' meeting we're having here, is because of the faith that's in our minds and in our being, of why we're pushing forward in the way we are. Not about if, what if. It is in our mind. It truly is. There is no other way to live this. Full speed ahead. Amazing. The uniqueness of mind that we have. Incredible. And our works reflect that. We wouldn't have an elders meeting if we didn't have works, if we didn't have the beliefs we have. We wouldn't be worried about answering stuff on the internet like we are because of the volume that continues to change and grow. And that when things begin to happen in a more massive way on this earth, we won't be able to handle it. But we're going to be far more geared to handling it because of faith, our works, and why we're doing what we do. You think you're running down the hill? I hope you understand spiritually you have been already. It's not just a matter of talking about it to different ones. That's only a small portion of what you're doing. It's what God is doing in a body spiritually, truly. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God? Well, we haven't always believed that. We haven't always believed that. But anyone new coming out of the scattering, they will come to believe that. And they'll rejoice before God. What an awesome thing to esteem, to understand more greatly the great God of the universe, Yahweh Elohim, and His Son, and what His Son then went through in a far greater way. Not as having pre-existed as a God, but fully born in human flesh and fighting a fight against human flesh. Incredible. He battled. He knew what he had to do, fully the mind of God in him. Awesome to understand. The glory, the majesty, the beauty of it all in God the Father and in His Son. You believe that there is one God, you do well. The demons believe and they tremble. And they're trembling more now. They're about to come to an end. They are so stirred up out there. They truly are. And we haven't seen anything yet because they're about to get a lot more stirred up. And that word in the Greek means they shudder, they fear. They're the enemy. They're an enemy that God is going to deal with. It's just not a matter of speaking to a physical world out here and a job that's ahead. It's a matter of speaking to a spiritual world and telling them what is about to happen to them. Truly. Their end is coming quickly. They know they have about 3.5 years left. And they're stirred up and they stir everything and anything up that they can. Truly do. But will you know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Individually, if we don't have the works because of what we believe, then our faith doesn't mean much, does it? It's kind of dead. Really dead. So our running down the hill does not stop when the first trumpet is blown. We don't just stop. On the contrary, this is when we begin to cry out. We haven't been crying out yet. I haven't known the exact timing of some of these things. I can only give what God gives me and the time that it's given. And the analogies that go with that. Thought that maybe there might be a point in time at some point in between here, but hasn't been there. Think what that means for you. Well, we'll talk about more of that later on. Yeah. Because God's going to give us what we need when we need it. We knew we'd come to the point when we collectively would begin to cry out. And we've been doing a lot as we've been gaining momentum, running down a hill. The organization's been taking place, some of it behind the scenes, some of the things that are taking place that are preparing for what's ahead of us. But part of what we have discussed in the context of pushing the book and cards and so forth is only now being put in place, and we're going to be doing those things even more. But I'll tell you what, there's going to come a point in time here, brethren, where most people that you come in contact with, you're going to begin talking. Go back and read what it says about Gideon and what they said when they started shouting. See if you can understand what that means for us and where you'll be steering people to and to what message you'll be steering them to. And why their ears are going to be a little more attentive and they're going to be able to hear when it's God's time. So the real push in this part even, there are things that have to do with the physical push, there are things that have to do with the spiritual one. We'll always have spiritual results though, and that's exciting. So in the context of 3 more weeks, no one has long to wait now, do they? Not us, and not our critics. It's so easy for people to criticize and twist what God has given. Perhaps this is unsettling for some, but it shouldn't be. For some of you, it shouldn't be unsettling at all what we're going through and what we're addressing here. I'm going to address a section from 3 email messages. Actually, I've kind of condensed some of this into some of that, I think, when I was going through this in the sermon. I wanted to make sure there are things I wanted to make sure I stated and was said here in the sermon today. But I'm going to go through some email here and learn some lessons from some of this, brethren. We can learn lessons in this, all in the context that there's less than 3 weeks remaining. The first letter is from a disgruntled ex-worldwider who thought that they could bring along their trash into the church. Tried to reason with the individual, telling them if they wanted to make progress, if they wanted to have fellowship, that there are certain things they needed to leave alone. But we don't need it in the body. We don't need it in the church. And God will reveal certain things later on as time goes along anyway. But this was a major thing with this individual. This person was so far out with his theories of conspiracies, different conspiracy theories, that when he heard some of the things being taught, that to him may have seemed so far out, but he genuinely thought he had found a home. Because to some, what we're saying and what we're doing is really out there. And indeed it is. And God has made it so. But if someone isn't being drawn, if they don't see it spiritually, well, you can't give it to them. And they're going to do it for the wrong reasons. And they'll have wrong motives as they come along. On two different occasions, the individual expressed, and I'm going to go ahead and state all this, because on two different occasions, he expressed the desire or the possibility of being ordained. And the second time, I let them know. The very mentioning of it is the very reason it will not happen. I don't think they got it. Now, we're going to talk about some of this in the meetings here, because I've mentioned about people are going to come along and their ordinations are going to take place as we go along. But some people hear this out there, and it's very easy to begin to think about self and esteem self and lift up self. And, you know, in the body, we all have different things to do and accomplish according to God's will and God's purpose. And sometimes that's a very difficult thing to leave it just like that, but we must, brethren. But anyway, in an email he stated, he says here, now this is good for all of us to go through, February has come and gone and your predictions have not been. The same with running down the hill screaming. Okay. Didn't know we're going to be screaming, but we are going to be crying out, brethren, we truly are, and people are going to hear. He went on to say, you need to monitor what comes out of your mouth. And I've noticed that you've been doing a little backpedaling. Yeah, that's news to me, but people can misconstrue what they want. Going on. I'm waiting to see how you're going to try to remove the big foot you stuck in your mouth for April 2008. Maybe you need to have your tongue cut out like one of the callers suggested on the radio interview. Just oozing with love here. Anyway, I thought I'd share that to show part of the spirit, but again, to show some of the feelings are out there, and some of you may get apprehensive as we get a little closer. It is intense feelings that we're going through, and especially when you go back through and read some things written in the book, if you don't understand, you can go off course. All that I can say to such statements is that I'm going full forward. And I know the church is. There's no backpedaling. There's no looking back. The meetings we're having this weekend and training all the new elders, as I mentioned, that's all a part of this. I'm moving forward, fully anticipating where we're going and what God is doing. Didn't we talk about people and what would begin to happen in the church? Isn't it awesome to understand the baptisms that are taking place week by week by week? And the amount that are waiting out there, the new people who are coming along, young people. We have a difficulty in addressing some of this because there are so many 16, 15, 14-year-olds out there. And you have to be careful how you deal with some of these because a parent, and they go to a parent and say what they're listening to, I know what a parent's going to feel. I would feel that way as a parent. If I had a young child at that age, knowing what happens on the internet today, and knowing what happens out here, some of these strange religions and so forth, and this, and what we're saying, is so different from what they've had. So we have to be careful and guide them back to their parents and to make them understand, to help them to understand that, yes, learn what you can learn, grow in what you can grow in. But there has to be wisdom in there as well. We can't enter into the same dialogue with them as we might be able to someone who is 18, 19, and 20, of which we have increasing numbers. Every day I look on the site there, and somebody putting down their age. Young! And what's incredible is, they can read books, and they can understand, and they see, and they understand the plan of God. They understand the meaning of the holy days. I had one here I was going to take time to read that I won't until I put it in the sermon having to do with unleavened bread, because very perceptive questions in some parts. Sometimes mixing some physical things in there because people just don't know. Incredible. The minds that are being opened up and what people are seeing. And you know what I take from that? I am excited because I think of the young people and God opening up their minds because He has a purpose for them to live into a new age, to be a part of a new world. It's awesome, brother, and it truly is. Are things coming to pass, as it's been said? Absolutely. Is it increasing? Absolutely. Will it continue to increase? It's going to blow your mind. So we're preparing more fully to deal with what we believe is coming quickly, beginning on April 17th. Anticipation? My heart's beating a little faster just thinking about it right now. Truly. Also part of something that I believe God has given to me to do is that I'll begin my job as one of the two witnesses while in Jerusalem. Both witnesses will be in Jerusalem April the 17th. Laura and I are going to Israel, and the heralds are coming with us. That'll cause some things out here. I can hear it now. Woo! They got a 50-50 chance. Well, four of us, three. Maybe there's someone we're going to meet up with. Some of you critics out there. I'm talking to people that listen in, not any of us in the congregation. Who could it be? Well, that'll be announced at that time. So just keep listening. We'll tell you. So the second witness will be with me in Jerusalem, and I will announce who it is on the weekly Sabbath of the 19th. Well, some have asked, and we were talking about it even today here, when does the job begin? Does it begin 3.5 days before April the 17th? I thought a lot about that. But knowing what it says about a witness and what it says about the job, two witnesses are going to be dead for 3.5 days, and they're still witnessing. You don't have to be alive to do that part of the job. Cameras are going to be on there for 3.5 days? Well, I feel very strongly, because I've gone back and forth on this, not knowing God will show it, but I know the job starts here soon. And I know it starts at the latest, April the 17th. So Passovers will be recorded in Jerusalem and placed on the website. And so those in Europe, I've already figured out the times in Israel and so forth. If you have access to a computer, you'll be able to hear the particular Passover service. Passover doesn't change a lot from year to year, so there's not a greater need. But obviously those in the States, that's why one individual caught it real quick, like about what's going to happen if, how can you have Hartford having it at 8 o'clock if over here it's not sundown yet? Well, so I had to explain a few things and finally just had to tell him. I think everyone understands it's later over here when it's sundown quicker over there in the Hartford area where Passover services will be held. But the reason being is because it'll be on the site and you'll be able to download it and listen to it. Go on. I want to read another email here that's similar to some others that have come in, and these are some I've kind of condensed together. A lot of this has been coming in here the last few days, and there's a lot to learn from this. In this particular one here, it says on the bottom, or on page 23 of 2008, God's Final Witness, at the bottom of the page it reads, "I know the exact day the sixth seal was opened. And the world will be shocked and in horror on the day that the seventh seal is opened." Good question. I've had some questions in times past, not too long after the book came out, about some things. And I told some that there are things written prophetically in the book. And as time goes along, you will understand what is being spoken of. Because I wanted to make it real clear, there are no contradictions. There are no contradictions. Just as in God's Word, when God inspires and gives something, there are no contradictions. So there is an answer that was written to such questions. And some of this was out there, so there had to be a reply. And this is what it states. God has now revealed that there is a separation between the opening of the seventh seal and the start of the Great Tribulation. We just learned that. Isn't that amazing? On February the 2nd. God reveals the truth progressively and will continue to do so. Amos 3:7 states, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." Our current understanding is, then it goes on explaining the 1335, the 1290, and the 1260. This is good. But people can misunderstand what's being said there as well. Do not misunderstand when it states God reveals the truth progressively. The truth of revealed prophecies is revealed progressively, if you understand. In other words, we did not know what the 1335 meant until it was given. I didn't know what it was until we were right there. And then the 1290. And then the 1260. And as those things came along. Progressively in that regard. But not with contradiction. Not as something in the past where we were still growing and we didn't know something and something was stated and later it had to be changed. Nothing! Nothing in this book is being changed. I hope we understand that. Because what is being revealed as a prophet, my job is not progressive. Everything written here is true. What we're learning and as it's being revealed, that's a progressive process. I hope we understand the distinction. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You will, I'm sure, by the end of the sermon. So again here, the truth of revealed prophecies is revealed progressively, and we do grow in deeper understanding of what God has written in Scripture. But that does not mean that I, as a prophet, was wrong in anything that was stated, and that adjustments have to be made along the way. That's not an adjustment. When we came out with 1335, it was an addition to broaden our understanding, progressive, in that context, right on. The bottom line is, either I'm a prophet or I am not. That's different from an apostle. That's different from an evangelist. That's different from teaching in different points in time where we come along and we learn that something wasn't fully given. And now it's given. And so we have to make a change. Prophecy does not change. Things are written prophetically in a very unique way. And this is a good exercise for all of us then to go through. It truly is. The answer, or to answer the question, on page 23, because there are several other places that you will understand then, if you understand this one very early on, the answer is twofold. It should be very clear in all that is written and in what has been given in sermons that the final 1260 days begins on April the 17th. I think all of us, especially in the church, we understand that deeply. We truly do. This is the day that the first trumpet of the seventh seal is blown. This is the day, at the very latest, that my job begins as an end-time witness, as a prophet to do a unique job during that time period, above and beyond what I've been given now. I'm sure glad I've had 2-4 years to get ready even for this sermon here, to be able to say such things, to be able to talk about such things that were so uncomfortable in the beginning, but now it's a matter of knowing, and it is what it is. It has nothing to do with vanity, pride, or haughtiness, as some people seem to misconstrue. It has everything to do with the job. It has everything to do with what God is doing, and being at one with God. It's an awesome thing, brethren. The more we come into harmony and unity and oneness with God, because the more we see that, the more we understand that, we understand it's fully about God, God's work, and what he's giving through his Son to us, because that's how it works. Awesome and inspiring. So what we do not know was something that God had concerning the 1290 days and the 30 days that would lead up to the final 3.5 years. We didn't know that at one time. We didn't understand what that period of time was until God gave it. But we understand there's a 30-day period there. So let's start here in Revelation chapter 8. Let's read it again. You know, I marvel at why and how God writes things the way He does and still is, because He gives plenty of room to those who want to twist and distort what is said because they don't get it. You see, unless you have God's Spirit, you don't get it. Unless you have God's Spirit that opens up your mind, you can't see it. God gives to us, it's what God gives. And you can't give it to anyone else. God has to give it. That's an awesome thing. But there are a lot of people from our past in the scattering that God is still working with. A lot of people that are going to be humbled before they're resurrected. Revelation 8 and verse 1. And when He had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Prophetically, with God, we should understand that this is in the same day, brethren. Do we understand? Do we not grasp that it was only a small portion of the same day prophetically? There are some things I've been waiting for that have been written that some of you picked up on and some of you have not. This is a part of it. Prophetically with God, we should understand that this is in the same day and only amounts to a prophetic period of about half an hour, which God has shown to us is a 30-day period of time physically, actual physical time. This is too, brethren, by revelation, as so much is. We live in unique times. Everything that we're given, as far as the last seven truths that God gave to the church, are matters of revelation, 1335, 1290, 1260, every one of them that we're living by, that we believe as faith and we move forward in, is a matter of revelation. And so is this. This is by revelation only. And this is the only verse in Scripture that this applies to. There is no other place. You can't go and compare some other place. You can't try to apply this principle of prophecy anywhere else. It is unique to the seventh seal. It is unique to the very end time. Incredible. Let's read it again. Revelation 8, verse 1. And when He had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Such meaning here that we've talked about in times past. God's church, God's people, that which God receives through time, what He's getting ready for. You know what's exciting, what He's getting ready for? The 144,000. The return of Jesus Christ, the establishment of His government on earth. Everything is moving forward at that time. Filling God's life, filling His being in ways that we cannot begin to grasp and comprehend. But I tell you, it fills God powerfully and mightily. And so every one of us who grows in that same mind and that same spirit, it fills our spirit, it fills our being, it fills our mind powerfully so, and gives us strength and boldness and might that only God can do. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. Because now it's time. Now it's time to end it all. Now it's time to bring down the governments of man, the ways of man, to end it all, so that God's kingdom can be brought to this earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Only the beginning of that. Because it's going to last for 3.5 years. The seven trumpets. It lasts for 3.5 years. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. all in the same day before God. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all grass was burnt up. Now let's go back and fit this first answer of a twofold answer that I mentioned here. Let's go back and notice here again, page 23. Let me go back there. I want to read the last two paragraphs here. But I want to read all that because we're going to come back to this last verse here. That first trumpet. What takes place? How do some things take place? How do some things happen? You're going to have to wait to understand more when more is given. Because it was also told to all of us that these things will be given as we come to them. But we'll take a little bit of a look ahead, a little bit of what God has given to us. But back here on page 23, I want to read both paragraphs here at the very end. Again, this is all quite basic because by the time the seventh seal is opened, Jesus Christ most assuredly knows the day He'll return to the earth the second time to take control of all government on earth. So the point here is trying to help people understand. There are those that say, well, no man knows the day they are, not even Jesus Christ. Trying to show, don't you grasp, don't you understand, there comes a time when God gives it to Jesus Christ, when God reveals it to Him. When He was on earth 2,000 years ago, He didn't know. It wasn't given to Him. And we don't know at what point it was. But we know that when it all began, He knew. And He gives it to the church then. That's how God works. He gives it to His Son. And His Son gives it to us. At what point the Father made known the timing to Jesus Christ, we do not know. But we do know that when the seventh seal is opened, there will be 3.5 years until the return of Jesus Christ. Again, remember, 30 minutes is still the same day, brethren, to God, prophetically. The final work of the two witnesses will begin at the same time. And the principles here are the principles I was talking about, that there are other places in here that will begin popping out at you more as time goes forward here, of things that God has written. The final work of the two witnesses that have to do with the first trumpet. The final work of the two witnesses will begin at the same time the seventh seal is opened. Therefore, they will know the exact day of Christ's return. Same thing. To God, it's all in the same day, brethren. It's a short span of time. A silence, something unique that's taking place in heaven. Something unique before God that started on March the 18th, that lasts up till April the 17th, all of which we don't fully grasp and comprehend because we're not there and because not a lot was written about it. But there is a period of time here that God has given. And much of it is for us to prepare. Much of it's so exciting to understand what God's getting ready to do. And what this means, I think, of the scattered church, that they no longer have a spiritual bondage over them any longer. That Satan doesn't have the power over them any longer. And so those beings have greater fear before God because God has acted. What you can't see it. You don't understand. You can't comprehend. It's a spiritual thing that's taking place out there. It's, again, by faith. It's, again, by something that God has given to us in understanding that this is what has taken place to those who are scattered. And what has taken place out there is that Satan no longer has the power over them as he's had in past time. The only problem is that they're so deep into what they've had for so long, their minds are so distorted and twisted and confused and so asleep and so many tangents, God has to shake the tar out of them to awaken them. And there are those He will work with and others who have already been judged that He will not work with at this time. That's in God's hands, fully, completely, as it always has been, as every life is. Going on, yes, I do know the timing of events as the seals of Revelation are opening. I do know we are in the end time and that six seals have already been opened. I know the exact day the first seal was opened, as will be covered in another chapter. I know the exact day the sixth seal was opened. And the world will be shocked and in horror on the day that the seventh seal is opened. Obviously, it's disconcerting to some, because we look at it totally, sometimes, physically, brethren. There's a process we're going through here. There's a process of what's going to take place with the first trumpet that's blown of all people. So when you read that on that day, understand that on that day before God started on March the 18th and goes up to April the 17th, and it's still before God on the same day. And I'm sure that when we're through it all, that God's going to let us know more of what happened, of what was taking place during this 30-day period. Going on. Another portion here where it talks about... Well, after reading that, I think it's good just to go on here and back up to Revelation 6, because I said there's a twofold answer to all this. And when you understand them both and see them clearly, it should be so very, very clear to us, brethren. It truly should be. Revelation chapter 6. I didn't copy that down. Let me turn over there right quick. Revelation chapter 6. Beginning in verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. You know, I think of the first four seals, how long it took us to come to a point in time where finally God says, this is what it means. It was like, incredible. My wife has mentioned in times past, she said, you know, there was so much destruction taking place in what we had believed previously of all the thirds and things that were happening, that by the time you got down to what was happening later on in the last seven trumpets, that there weren't enough pieces of the pie to go around. If all that destruction took place in the first four seals physically on the earth in a great physical tribulation, there are not enough pieces of the pie. So it was a little disconcerting. And finally, we came to understand the first four seals had to do with the church. What an incredible revelation. And to understand that, indeed, as Mr. Armstrong said, it does go along with Matthew 24, but in a way that we didn't grasp and comprehend concerning God's church. And what it's always about His people, always about His plan, always about those that He's bringing into His family. And as we go in the millennium, the same thing is true. It just intensifies millions of times over. And so we have this particular seal that cannot be understood if people just look at it physically like was looked at in the first four seals. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled up or rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. It didn't happen physically. There wasn't something like that that took place all over the earth. Every island, every mountain. So if there are people looking at this on a physical plane, as human beings tend to do, they're way back there somewhere, and the first four seals and this one here is way up there, because when this happens, boy, won't the whole world see it? Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. Nothing like that's happened. Nothing like that has taken place. And yet we're about the end of the sixth seal. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" So if you read it physically, people will never understand it. People will never comprehend what it's all about. God has to reveal it. Just like God has to reveal everything else to us. God has to reveal to us the Sabbath and the holy days and the meaning of those things on a spiritual plane. And when it comes to things of prophecy, God has to reveal it. That's why I marvel when I talk on interviews and stuff and have talked in times past to people about the book of Revelation. Because you see, religions out here think you can open up that book and you can read through it and you can understand it. They can't. To even understand the eras. Ephesus. To Laodicea. You have to be a part of God's church. You have to be someone who's received the impregnation of God's Spirit to truly grasp and comprehend and believe what is written in those things that have happened, that's happened through the ages here for the last 2,000 years concerning the church. God has to give it. How much more that goes beyond this for the very end time? God has to give it in His time. That's why I marvel at what it says in the book of Daniel. The wise will understand. Because when we come to it, God will give us exactly what it's all about when it's His time. We'll see it. We'll understand it. We'll grasp it. It'll be clear in our minds, but others can only read something physically. That's all they can do. The great day of God's wrath didn't come yet. It isn't here yet. This is prophetic. It's written prophetically. It's showing what happens in this seal. Pictures a mighty thing that's going to take place over time here. That it is a judgment that has begun. And it began with the sixth seal. We know what happened on the sixth seal. It's prophetic. It's what happened on 9/11. The very day it started. Incredible. Picturing what's going to happen primarily, first and foremost, to this nation. Because you see, this nation, above all nations on the earth, is the one that God promised the greatest power and the greatest might to of all Israel at the end time. Manasseh, did I say Ephraim? Ephraim, on the other hand, lost theirs. They lost that power, their greatness of a commonwealth, a people. During World War II, the pound was no longer the currency of the world. The dollar was. Because God did something in fulfilling promises on a physical plane, because He's preparing for something on a spiritual plane. And that's why the focus, and that's why God has worked with. People have condemned, criticized Mr. Armstrong over the years because everything seemed to be so much about the United States. Everything was primarily coming out of the United States. The greatest numbers of people and so forth being worked with was in the United States. But they don't understand that many peoples have come to this nation. And God has called people out of many backgrounds to be a part of His church. Because what happens with people is they get hooked up and sunk into nationality, the past, background, heritage, when that isn't what it's all about. It's about a plan that God has and the way He's working it out. That's why today I marvel it's even more refined today, because it is primarily here and in Ephraim and in a very small way some other areas. And people get upset about that. And they get upset at that kind of a God because they don't get it and they don't understand a progressive process whereby God is going to save all mankind. A mighty, mighty God who has such a mighty, mighty plan for us all. What an awesome thing to see it, to grasp it. The big picture. The big picture. And so this nation is very much a part of prophecy, and that's why the first four trumpets are about this nation more than any other. And it's going to have the greatest repercussions, and it will spill over into, and it will begin to bring down others as well, Ephraim and Western Europe. Because by the time you get to the fifth trumpet, we have a war in our hands. Germany and 9 other nations are going to do what they're destined to do. What was preordained, predetermined to be given to a certain kind of people in time. Because when it comes their time to do it, they do it well. Very systematic. Very fierce. Very strong when they're allowed to do it. And they're going to be allowed to do something very strong to fulfill and accomplish something that God has purposed to humble mankind, to bring about His kingdom. It's an awesome thing to understand, brethren. And so if we grasp and understand that there are things still written prophetically, it's not a hard thing for us. So let's go back and read page 23 at the bottom here again. As will be covered in another chapter. I know the exact day the sixth seal was opened, and all of us do. September the 11th, 2001. It all began. All these things here are prophetic of what took place. Government, military, economy. Incredible what was struck. All prophetic. And it's going to be fulfilled beginning with the first trumpet. Beginning at the first trumpet, it all starts. I wish I knew in detail what happens in the first four trumpets. I don't, because it hasn't been given to me specifically what those events are. Perhaps God will, or perhaps He only will on the day each one begins. And you don't know the day each one begins. I don't know the day that each one begins except for one. That's the first trumpet. That's the beginning day for two witnesses, when God will give greater power, greater understanding, greater strength to do a job. I don't know what all that means yet, but I'm going to learn very soon. Going on, I know the exact day the sixth seal was opened, and the world will be shocked and in horror on the day that the seventh seal is opened. Brethren, that's when it begins. Is that so hard to understand? Do you understand what was written back there about the sixth seal? And the kings of the earth and the mighty men and every free man and every bond man went and hid in the cave? That's what happens throughout a period of time and gets worse and worse as you get to the end. And what's being stated here has a beginning and it has an end. And it lasts for 3.5 years. And so the intensity of the horror and the shock that hits people on this earth will intensify as we go through all 7 trumpets. It's not a contradiction. It's a reality. But it starts April the 17th. Start with a bang? I have no idea. I don't have the foggiest idea. I know on that day there's going to be a man visiting in the Washington, D.C. area. And the next day he'll be in New York. And I do know as well on that day that individual has a being, Satan, who begins to influence him, who begins to work through him. And that hasn't started yet until that day. What an awesome thing to understand what's going to begin taking place. Of all things, of all people, and where He will be. That should send a few shivers up and down your spine. What that means prophetically. Of all people, and what He's going to be doing for the next 3.5 years. Incredible. And He is going to be stirred up out of control, distorted and perverted in mind to destroy. His motive
will be to destroy everything he can destroy. He wants to destroy this nation, the very place he's going to be visiting. Not him, but the being who will control him. Do we not grasp the power of beings and things they have done through time, and Satan himself, when he's been given the power to do so? Do you remember pictures and speeches and seeing things of Hitler and what he looked like and what he did? Insane looking, especially the closer you get toward the end. Amazing. We're not talking about small things, because he's going to have a great deal to do with what happens, when it happens, when the fifth trumpet is blown. When finally a United States of Europe, 10 nations come together to do what they're going to do. Oh, yes. And in that day, the horror of man is going to increase many times over. Over all the earth. It's going to cause all mankind to shake, because they know what's coming. They know the whole world will be at war now, and they can't stop it. When those nations who are looked upon the way they are today take the step that they do against this nation, against Canada, against Australia, New Zealand, and Western Europe, if they're allowed to go and do all those things to that degree, and to what degree we don't know as far as Australia and New Zealand, the world will tremble. So this is all progressive as well, yes. But it begins on a certain day. It's not fully fulfilled on that one day. It doesn't fully happen on that one day. So yes, the world will be shocked and in horror on the day that the seventh seal is opened. It's going to grow, it's going to increase, and it's all prophetic. And it ought to dumbfound you that you know what you know. And what do you think is going to happen by the time we get to the sixth trumpet? And finally, after a year and a month and a day, as it talks about there, finally China and Russia have it all together to finally strike out at Europe, to finally strike out at the rest of the world in a very powerful way. What they do before that, we don't fully know. But finally, there is a great and a mighty world war. And people write in, they want to know, what part of the world can I go to be spared from this? Somewhere in South America? Some island? Brother, we don't understand. And it's not a real pleasant thing to talk about. Nuclear winters, what's going to affect every square mile of this earth one way or another. That's why we tell people, you must rely on God. It's going to so much of those things, as far as those in the scattered nations of Israel, will depend upon your relationship with your God. As far as any guarantees in your life, because only God Almighty can ensure that a person comes through that period of time. And for all you young people out there, all you 15, 16, 17-year-olds that believe this, 18, 19, 20, and on up, God has opened your mind for a reason. And it is to live into that new world. And all you have to do is hold on to whatever you can of all that you can learn, even if you have to do it totally by yourself. And God will bring you through. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Captives. And Daniel. All teenagers. Young. And they were determined to obey the great God. To follow the great God and do what God gave them. Even when it came to what they would eat and wouldn't eat. They were going to be meticulous about what they did and what they didn't do. Because God gave them a special spirit and a special mind and worked with them to stand up to a king and to tell him, we will not bow down to that image, and you can throw us in that fire,
that God will save us, or God has the power to save us, but whether he will or will not, we will not bow down to your image. It made him so mad, he fired it up 7 times more. Can you imagine? Enraged him that 3 young people would have the audacity, the nerve. No one in his kingdom would dare do anything like that. Isn't that amazing? But they did. So a lot of you out there, that's the great God that will deliver you. As much as he did them, you have absolutely nothing to fear. Will it be hard? Sure. Wasn't easy for them. Life wasn't easy. They went through some hard things. But think about those who are coming through this at the other end, on the other side. 3.5 years from now, what an incredible world to have the opportunity to be a part of, to help set right everything in society, to be a part of helping to rebuild. To rebuild the earth, everybody's going to have work, a lot of it. It's going to be exciting and inspiring. I want to read some more pages here, just going a little farther into the book. Matter of fact, it might be good if we just took a look at that verse that I mentioned earlier before we continue on here. Let's turn over here to Revelation again, to what begins on April 17th, when the first trumpet is blown. Maybe on that weekend, maybe on the 19th, during the sermon, in the sermon, maybe God will give us more to understand what we've entered into. And we'll read a little bit about that in the book here in a moment. But I want you to think a little bit about verse 6 of Revelation 8 again here in verse 7. Verse 6, and the 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there was, well, it said there followed the trumpet, hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. So what begins at some point, what will it be? What will cause it? I do not know. I have not the foggiest idea. Well, I have some ideas, but people's ideas aren't worth too much when it comes to speculation. So we have to wait until God makes it manifest, until God makes it clear. He's given us timelines. He's given us various other things to go by, to understand, and to move forward in. But some of the specifics of these things we do not know yet. But we do know that in this country and in our neighbor up to the north here, because they're going to receive some suffering from some of this, whatever it is, some spillover, but it's primarily what happens right here in the United States. So the first trumpet, when it's blown, it's about us. 9/11 was here. It was about us. Repercussions as the trumpets continue on, more of Israel that's hit. But you know what? Some of you are going to have a little bit of time, perhaps, before it comes to your door. Those of you in Australia, and those of you in New Zealand, and those of you in Western Europe, because it starts here. It isn't talking about a third of all the earth. It's talking about a third of where it strikes. And it strikes here. It's about Manasseh. It's about us in this nation. It's about bringing down everything that we are. And the rest will follow, in sense of the rest of Israel, where the scattered nations of Israel are. And it talks about something that's going to take place. And then it goes on. It talks about also it's mingled with blood. There's going to be death. Death of a lot of livestock. Death of a lot of animals. And the death of human beings as well will come. It doesn't have to come immediately. The death of all the human beings does not have to start at the beginning of the first trumpet.
And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, cast into the sea. A lot more powerful. A lot more intense. A lot more destruction. And a third part of the sea became blood. Destroys a lot. When does this happen? I don't have the foggiest idea. But one day I will, and you will too. And God will give it to us in His time. What is it? We could speculate. At some point, it has to be nuclear weapons. There are going to be certain things that take place. In the first one, I don't know. May not be. May not be. Second one, looks a lot like it. May not be. But how long before the second one takes place? Brethren, please, that's why I've talked about the first four trumpets. Maybe 6 months, maybe a year. There are things that indicate the possibility of both. I don't know. I feel very strong about what God has given in interviews. A lot that God has given to me has been in interviews that I didn't think about, didn't go into until an interview was given. That's why I've talked about certain things happening at certain stages. One very strong one is no president will take office in January of 2009 in this country. What causes that? Martial law? Someone staying in power? Someone keeping power? I don't know. But God will give it in His time. How many trumpets have gone off by the end of the year? Well, if it's over 6 months, all four of them will have. If it's over a year, two, maybe three. You don't know and I don't know because God just hasn't given it yet. That'll be my job later on. To talk about those things in God's time for a specific purpose. Do you know what the purpose is? Do you know what the first few things are about? It's about the humbling of this nation and Australia and New Zealand and Canada and Western Europe. That's what it's about. So whether it be 6 months or a year, there will be things that will be stated that will be told with greater power and greater intensity to these nations. And as long as those things going on are going on, whether it be 6 months or a year, this is where we will be as a whole until the fifth trumpet is blown, when Germany arises and nine other nations with her. At that point, everything begins to change because God has done what He was going to do, what His purpose was, in allowing various things to take place in the first four trumpets to humble this nation, to bring it to naught, to bring an end to all the awesome blessings and power of the greatest nation that the world has ever known, to bring it to an end as a part of a process to bring down every nation on earth in a 3.5-year period of time. It is the end. Incredible, the plan of God and the power of God to accomplish it. The things that have already been planned out and purposed so long ago. Before the world began, before there was ever a human being on this earth, this 3.5 years was purposed by God. Manasseh and Ephraim were purposed by God and the rest of Western Europe. And where they would be, do we not grasp the power of God? These aren't by coincidence that we are here in this nation today. Do you think your God is all-powerful and able to mold nations and time the way He designs it? Sometimes we so limit God, brother, and we truly do. Yeah, the 3.5 years. Yes, the two witnesses. Yes, the final apostle to God's church. Yes, the Elijah to come. These weren't things God thought up during the lifetime of Jesus Christ. These aren't the things that God thought up at some point when He was revealing to John about the eras of the church. These aren't things that God finally decided and thought, during the days of Abraham,
We've got a little time on my hand. It's going to take a little time to work with Abraham here. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? See, I'm going to give Abraham, he's going to become 12 great nations on the earth in time. How are we going to accomplish this one? Where are we going to put them? It was all determined before anything was created. It was all determined before the angelic realm was created. Believe it or not. One day you will, if you don't. Almighty God. Truly, Almighty God that we serve. But we as human beings so limit Him. We truly do. So how long? We have to wait. We have to wait to see how God does it. When the first seal is opened, I hope we don't have to go through a test for a little while before we recognize what it is. I hope it happens swiftly. But I also know that it could happen at a basically a minimum of 45 days to 90 before the second trumpet is blown. So, with that in mind, let's go on to page 116 of the book. Page 116 at the bottom. The first trumpet. The first trumpet blast will occur quickly after the seventh seal of Revelation is opened by Jesus Christ. And to God it's quick. It's only 30 minutes, prophetically, when this trumpet blast occurs. Even as I am writing, the events prophesied to take place during these trumpet blasts are already showing signs of emerging on the world scene. It's been a continually growing thing, more and more, the closer we get. Just like I marvel at seeing what's taking place with the economies of the world and how they're dealing with various things, and you hear different ones talk, various experts talk. And you see some that are scared and they can't contain, they can't hide their eyes. They can't hide the way they're speaking. You think this world isn't scared right now? Do you think this country isn't scared? Because you can't just go start up a machine and keep printing money and it not come back to bite you bad. And they know it. But they're printing it wildly, offering it to huge banking systems. Get your loans now while the getting is good. It's our downfall. We're at the end. We're about ready to crash. Amazing. And then you watch them do something and try to bring the stock market up and try to bring gold down and try to cause a confidence to be that they can't make stick. And gold starts going back up. The euro starts going back up because people are not at ease out there. They know what happened to Bear Stearns. I think was it Cramer that make fun of on TV on occasion here now, what he said just a little before it happened, MSNBC. And you hear the little rumblings about Bear Stearns. Don't bail. It's foolishness to think that they're not going to continue on. And he's rather outspoken, loud. I don't want to do that. I don't know if most of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are nodding your head, you do. And he gives advice about where to put your money and where to take your money out of and when to do it. And all of a sudden, here he is telling people, don't do this toward the very end. And you wake up one day and all of a sudden, was it 140 at one time, a share? Now it's worth $2, maybe 10. Oh, it's really encouraging because now it might be 10 instead of 2. And you hear the people talk, oh, this is great. It's going to be $10 instead of 2. Oh, we're pulling out of this thing. And you go ask that to those who had their life in the $140 a share and see how they feel about the great news you're trying to give them about $10 a share, if they ever get it. And do you think there aren't others just waiting behind the scenes? Another quarterly report, more things that begin to come out, that begin to be seen. And Europe, that's getting just a little peeved off at us,
Germany in particular, because of what we're doing? You think Europe isn't upset with us because of what we're doing? Because they see us as dragging them down. And indeed, we are. Do you see what's taking place and what's been stirred up just in the last 2 months on this earth? Because you see, the economy causes wars. The economies change attitudes. The economy of the world and how people live and what they base their life on and their future on has always been a part of so many wars, the greater ones in some cases. Somebody wanting a bigger piece of the pie because they don't want to lose what they have. When you talk about modern times, the last three wars, last two wars, and things that have taken place behind the scenes in this world, incredible. Going on down. Well, we already read that last part there about the trees, the last part of Revelation. I'll move on over here to the next page. The last part of the page, 117. The first powerful event of the seventh seal will result in widespread destruction over the United States and beyond her border into Canada. The destruction in Canada will be less, but she will experience repercussions from what will happen in the U.S., because she is a neighbor, as well as a prophetic brother. When we are told that a third of all plant life will be destroyed, that is exactly what it means. It is physical. The actual event will not be disclosed until it's time for it to happen. And so it will be with every one of those four trumpets. As with all the seals of Revelation, many of the specifics of each of the seven trumpets will not be revealed until it is time. You see, brethren, because there's a job to be done. There is something that is going to be done that's going to help humble people, and they're going to hear something when it comes time, and they won't be able to deny it once it happens. Nobody else can tell them those things, but there will be two who will know. And those things are going to be stated, and they are going to be said, and that's why some things are exactly as they are because of that job. Because of that job is what God is going to use to humble, and especially religions in this world, because others are going to try to say, they're going to try to jump on the bandwagon and say, oh, this is why this is happening. This is what God told me. And they're going to be proven to be big, fat liars that they are. They truly are. And it's going to be made very clear by the time all four trumpet blasts are over with that the religions of this world that people rely upon, they're all liars and deceivers and perverted in understanding. Now, their real spirit and their real attitude is going to come to the forefront. But God is going to make it clear that the truth prevails and becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And so that by the time Europe does what it does, there come a time when they start listening a little more closely than what this nation did. We're going to be a little surprised about Germany's response as time goes on, because you see, it isn't long after they start what they do that they highly regret they ever started it. And there is a battle behind the scenes between Rome and those 10 nations. They have a loathing for each other. Truly, what Revelation shows. They have a loathing for each other shortly after it all starts. Isn't tied together very well, very long, just in a moment in time, but you can't take it back. Once it happens, it's done. And you can't take it back. They're caught. And they have to see it through. And they regret it. They regret it deeply. So, how some are treated and what some things happen in the future are going to shock some of you. because you stand up for the truth and you stand up for the Sabbath and you see how God intervenes through your enemies. That's why we always teach. Don't ever forget Joseph. Don't ever forget Daniel. Don't ever forget that in a time of war, God can give you great favor in the sight of your enemies. Amazing. We're going to see some incredible things. We're going to witness some of the most intense, some of the most incredible things, some of you in your lives and what you're going to go through that's going to make the Old Testament just scream and come alive, because it's being repeated over and over and over again in a more massive way. This age is going to be spoken of mightily and powerfully in the 1,100 years to come. Sometimes we don't think our lives are all that exciting. God has put you into excitement, truly. He has put you in the most awesome time of human history. He has put you in a time of some of the most incredible events that will take place in human history. And you're going to see things, you're going to experience things that make some other stories, though they be incredible and awesome and important, less powerful. So again, as with all the seals of Revelation, many of the specifics of each of the seven trumpets will not be revealed until it's time for the actual events to take place. It should also be noted that in the first trumpet there is fire mingled with blood. Blood means there will be much death when this event occurs. Most of it will be the death of animals and birds, but also a large number of people will die, into the tens of thousands. Not on the first day, not on the second day, not on the third day, not a week later, not 2 weeks later. The death, and most of this will happen before the second trumpet blows, toward the end, whether it be at the end of 45 days or toward the end of 90 days, whatever it is that God reveals later on. So that everyone understands very well what I'm saying, the first trumpet is blown on April the 17th. All does not happen on that day, but it begins on that day. God has not revealed the duration before the second trumpet is blown. The second trumpet may be blown just before Pentecost or up to a period right at the end of July. If by Pentecost, I'm just going to make this real clear to everyone. If by Pentecost it is not powerfully and abundantly clear that there has been a great deal of destruction that will clearly encompass a third of all plant life in the U.S., and at least the clear results of this mingled with blood, the death of very much animal life and the beginning of large numbers in human life, then I will stop preaching. Just so that all the critics and everyone out there will understand, I am true to my word in these things. Okay? And for all the critics, if by the end of July, and most likely around Pentecost, if nothing has clearly caused great destruction and death, I will make it very clear that I was a false prophet. I will do exactly what I said I would do on all those interviews that I have held, to do less. Would be quite insane. If we're not true to what we know and what we believe, but you see, I don't believe this. But I'm just letting everybody know. That's what I would do. So as I've always stated, again, if these things do not very clearly come to pass over the next couple of months, there is only one answer to it all. It should be very clear to all, I am not a prophet. Because what a prophet says must come to pass, and it must happen exactly as they say. You know, people are so, and we should understand, so skeptical. Can we expect anything less? Can we expect anything less from human beings that have gone through what they have when they see the history of religions in this world, even in the scattered church? Should they expect anything less from things they see when things are changed, when something doesn't happen here and things are changed, well, God reveals something else to them. That's sick. To all of a sudden say, oh, well, I think of one that said, God's going to strike me dead if we don't get so much money in here. And, you know, some of these people should have died a lot of times over, but things that have happened in people's lives because they're not genuine, they're not sincere, and they're not true to their word. How sick is that? How sick is that? You know, I remember when things started happening in the church, and I remember a show that came out, Braveheart. Rather coarse in some places, and life is much like that, and war is definitely like that. But I think of the attitude of mind, that whatever you do with all your being, and you do it with the noblest of life. What other life would there be to live? To be true to your word, no matter what you do in life. And I thought of those things, and some of that gave some encouragement at that time. It was a very moving show because of what we were going through and the need to stand up for what is true. To do what you have to do because it's right before God, and to do less if you don't do it, where are we? Who are we? You know, to stand up before God and to do what is right, what you know in your mind that you have to live by. And yet, what do people see in the world? People get to a certain point or they change something to suit their means. Lie, lie, lie. Compromise, compromise, compromise. There is nothing noble in that in life. And I think of all things in life, to live it nobly is the most exciting thing of all. And for us, we have that opportunity. On a plane, on a level that exceeds anything else in life. Because this is about God. This is about God's church and the end time and what's going to take place. We have seen so much evidence. I think of the cloth of Gideon. I think of that, well, the fleece. Every time we go someplace, it's getting turned over. Every time we go someplace, and it just gives you more encouragement, more strength. You see the minds of people opening up. You see what's taking place. And it would take indeed a blind man, spiritually, not to grasp and understand what the great God has been doing and what He continues to do, of exactly what we said He would do, or I said He would do, and what I'm saying He's going to continue to do on a more massive scale. And you just hold on with all of your being and what you have opportunity for over the next few years. It's most awesome, brethren. There's never been a time like this one, truly. So, it's pretty simple. Prophet, false prophet. How much easier can it get? However, if I am, then what are all you skeptics and critics going to do when you see these things come to pass? We're often asked, what if? What if? I don't live by what if. I'm running down the hill with all of my being. Because you see, as I've told some others, come April the 17th, my life changes dramatically one way or the other because it's all in. It's the way we live our life spiritually. We truly do. And if we're not, something's wrong with us spiritually. If we're holding back, how does God look upon that if we hold back? What are we holding back? Are we all running yet? We better be. We truly better be. And so what are you going to do, some of you who are skeptics and critics, and you see these things come to pass? I will tell you what you will do as a whole. You will lie, you will twist, and you will distort, and you will die. Speedily. So one of us is walking on very dangerous ground. Ezekiel chapter 2. We'll stop here. Ezekiel chapter 2. God mocks you critics. God mocks those of you who twist and distort what is true. God will mock your life and what's going to happen in your life. And it's going to happen swiftly upon you. Thank God
because your mouths and your attitudes need to come to an end. And you're going to find out that God is not playing games. After April the 17th, I would fear to be in any of your shoes. Truly, truly, truly. Because you see, what I say after that day carries a lot more weight. Ezekiel chapter 2. Verse 1. People don't understand. Isn't that amazing? They don't understand the job that's coming. And that things will be said. And people will die. You think a man of God could go out and kill 400 priests? Take their life and be justified before God? Absolutely. Amazing. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak unto you. I'll just be real clear. God put me on my feet, and he spoke to me, powerfully revealing his word. Because God is the one that has to set us up. God is the one that has to put us in position. God is the one that has to do it. We don't do it ourselves. We can't work it up ourselves. God Almighty is the one who does it. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spoke unto me. All spiritual. How do you know what you know? What proof do you have? And if you told them a burning bush, oh, they would have fun with that. Poor Moses. Can you imagine? What is it that people will believe? Nothing. Nothing. Except what comes to pass when it's spoken. Then they can come to believe. But some and most are so resistant to God, they will die and would rather die to hold on to what they want to hold on to. Verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel. That's where it goes first. It doesn't stop there. To a rebellious nation, or as it is here, to rebellious nations, because Israel is more than one nation, that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. And please understand that when this nation began, that we were not all nicey-nicey and had a relationship with God. God put us where we are and gave us certain things that we had, even as a physical people and as a physical nation. Some people have some wrong ideas about, well, I don't want to go in there. Can't do it yet. Verse 4. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send you unto them, and you shall say unto them, Thus says the Lord Eternal. It's from God. And they, whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there's been a prophet among them.